Hallelujah. Sit down. We shall soon have that fellowship in heaven. You have not finished. Okay, she has not finished. That's your question.
My question.
There's a second question they asked from Germany. The ticking. You said the question is, the Bible says the deacon must be a husband of one wife. Does it mean there are people sitting down there that are husband of more than one wife? Certainly, yes. That is why in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he speaks about the believing with the unbelieving. There are conditions that we wear as unbelievers before we receive Christ. If you got married to more than one wife before you receive Christ and you come to Christ, forget that doctrine that says you should put away the second wife. Forget it. It's unscriptural. It has no place with grace. Okay? So, there are certainly people that were sitting down there that had more than one wife. That is why he said, such people cannot be leaders in the church. You cannot be a pastor in the church. You cannot be a deacon. Pastor must have, a minister of God must have only one wife. If you have more than one wife, you are disqualified. And a deacon also must be a husband of one wife. God bless you. Yes.
Praise the Lord. My question is, according to the Bible said we should be a perfect, even as our Heavenly Father is perfect.
Yes.
So my question is, how can I be perfect? And how can I be very, very holy to be like Jesus?
The stature of perfection is in 2 Peter chapter 1. Add to your faith what? Add. Keep adding. Until you come to charity.
Sir.
The bond of perfection. That's what the Bible calls it.
Okay, sir. According to our brother, he said, and the Bible said, he that is born of God, that does not sin, you once started, he said, you can have the Holy Ghost and still sin, but it means you will get to the perfection. So my question then now is, I know I'm still battling with some sin. You understand? I know I have the Holy Ghost because for me to be totally changed like this physically and even some bad habits in me, I know I have the Holy Ghost. But how can I be? I want to be. I don't know.
There is a scripture. I think it's Psalm 119. I'm not sure of the real verse. Yes. Yes. Let's read it. I think Psalm 119 verse 9, correct? Psalm 119 verse 9. Can we read it? Listen. Wherewith shall a young man, this time too, including young woman, cleanse his way? What is the answer? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And another scripture there says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against. The more you yield yourself to the word of God, for verse 26, can we read it of Ephesians chapter 5? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. It says, I think Ephesians chapter, yeah. From verse 25 and 26. He said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with what? With the washing of water by the word. So the process of washing carnality, uncleanness, is by the word.
Okay.
So the more you have the word in you, the more you have the ability to resist the enemy. Thank you. Yes.
Shalom, church.
So my call is coming in, yes?
Shalom, church.
Rita from Italy.
God bless you, Pastor.
You're on air.
Hello. Pastor Moses, this is Sister Rita from Italy. I have a question. My question is, we in Italy, I wanted to know, sir, is this Pope now in Rome the last Pope? Because what we are seeing now on the news is so amazing and confusing. Where Pope has started to ordain a woman to be a priest. And secondly, he now said that the priest, Reverend Father, can be free to marry. So I don't know. I want to know if we are confused here. So is this Pope the last Pope before the rapture, sir? God bless you, sir.
Thank you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Well, according to the Roman Catholic seer by the name of Saint Malachi, according to the prophecy that he gave so many hundreds of years ago, and so many of the things he has spoken have come to pass, going by that prophecy of Saint Malachi, this is supposed to be the last Pope, according to Saint Malachi. But, church, we are not looking at who the last Pope is. Who the last Pope is, according to divine agenda, what he will do, according to the revelation given to Daniel in Daniel chapter 9, that will really culminate into him now being the incarnate Satan himself. It takes place after the rapture has taken place. When he will enter into that 1 week covenant, 7 years covenant with many nations. It's a covenant of peace. But by the time he enters that covenant, the rapture takes place. So we are not busy looking for who is the last Pope. We are making our calling and election sure. We are equipping ourselves for home going. There is a visa to enter the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. It is Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. So we are here dressing ourselves. The bride has made herself ready. Revelation 19 says so. And it is ready, and she's given a garment, and that garment is the righteousness of the saints. And that is all that we are busy doing. We are getting ourselves closer and closer and closer to God. For according to divine agenda, Revelation chapter 10 will soon start as the seventh seal will be opened. And then we come to Revelation chapter 10. By that time, the mercy seat is over. When God stands up from the mercy seat, when Christ stands up from the mercy seat, he has been sitting there for the past 2,000 years, there will be no more salvation. But while he's still sitting down there, come to the Savior. Melody,
yeah, in his word, he has shown us the way. Yeah, in a minute, he's sending today. Tenderly say, he comes.
Joyful, joyful.
hearts are pure and free, and we shall gather Savior within. In our exile,
say it again. Oh, joyful, joyful,
joyful, joyful, we now meet to be. When from sin, hearts are pure and free. And we shall gather Savior within, in our exile now.
Come to me. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. A time is going to come, you will seek him, you won't find him. And it will be too late. And I believe the best program any church can organize is what we are doing now. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. For what shall it profit a man when you gain the whole world and you lose your soul? See, there are two groups of people the Bible tells us get away from them. The first group is where we read 2 Timothy chapter 3. Lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, and he listed all the rest. He said, from such, he said, turn away. Come out of her, my people. And then 1 Timothy chapter 6, can we read it? Verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Okay. Verse 3, he tried to tell us, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Every doctrine any of us must preach, preachers, it must be according to godliness. If you can't do that, it says that person is proud, knowing nothing but nothing about questions and stripes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmises. Verse 5 is my emphasis. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Saying what? Supposing that gain is what? Godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. Anybody that tells you you are prospering and it is evidence that God is with you, he said, run away from such people. Prosperity, prosperity. Verse 6, he said, but godliness with contentment. Contentment is what? Great gain. He said, we came to this world with nothing. And we are going out back to where we came from with nothing. No matter what you acquire here, when you die, 6 feet, they will put you, cover you there. Amen. So why are you chasing this world to the detriment of your soul? Therefore, chase them, godliness. I mean, whatever riches you have, make sure you are content with what you have. Contentment. Godliness with contentment. Put away greed and lust and pursuing and pursuing, and you have no time for your soul. God raised this ministry to make you have time also for your soul. Praise God. Does it mean I'm against prosperity? I am not against it. I am against the way that the Lord told that rich man that he is rich with everything here, but he's not rich towards God. We must both be rich here and rich towards God. Amen. God bless you. Who is asking?
Church, praise the Lord. Sir, please, my question, you have answered it a little bit through one of our sister's question, but I still want to ask. Sir, please, if I have the Holy Ghost in me and he speaks to me to do a particular thing and I refuse to do it, will that make me to lose my salvation?
No. If are you married?
Yes, sir.
Do you have children?
Yes, sir.
If you tell your child to do something and he refuses to do it, what will you do to him?
I will discipline him.
will he cease to be your son because he refused to do that thing?
No, sir.
What will you do to him? Talk now.
I will discipline him, but he will still be my son.
You have answered your question. God bless you. Next question.
Please, sir, I have a second.
Another one.
Yes, sir. Please. Sir, please, as in a man, I a man, and my wife makes a vow in the church, unknowing to me, I didn't know, can I be able to stop that vow?
In the law, the man had that authority. In Numbers chapter 30, can we read it? And if she, the woman now, had at all an husband, when she vowed or uttered aught out of her lips wherewith she bound her soul, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vows shall stand and her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallowed her on the day that he had it, then he shall make her vow which she vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, of none effect, and the Lord shall forgive her. See the power of a husband over the man, the woman? Yes, you can disallow it. You cancel it. If she rejects it, my life, it's between me and my God. And then you take it there, it will not be accepted by God.
Thank you, sir.
Sister, may God not give you useless man. We're going to disturb your spiritual life. Sister, may God not give you one useless man. When anything you want to do for your blessing, you can't say, stop her. In Jesus' name. May God give you a husband where it will be complete mumu for you. Thank you. Yes?
Praise God, church. Ask a short question.
I have a question. Brother Dennis from Russia. Shalom, church. I am an African in Russia. Brother Moses, is it possible for one to have been baptized with the Holy Ghost and not know it, but only to realize afterwards? My second question, how can one activate his or her spiritual gift? Yes, you can have an experience that you may not know that it is the baptism of the Holy Ghost you received. But it will be certainly an experience you receive, only that you may not know because for various reasons where you are not properly taught on how to identify the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But after some time, you will get to know that it looks like from that day I received this experience, my life changed. That change of life is what will make you then know that yes, you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then you say, how can one activate the gift? Now, when you say activate, it means the gift is already there. Now, you want to put it to action. The only way is to yield yourself and allow him to manifest himself. And that is what this program is all about. It shall be for the manifestation of the Spirit. So, get connected from Russia, and then you will certainly also receive that revival. That is what the program for this year is all about. Everyone that is born again, you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you must operate a gift. We will teach it as the time draws nearer. When we all gather, we'll tell you what it is. I will tell you the danger of not using your gift. It's in the Bible. Okay, God bless you.
Praise God, church. I have short questions. I want to ask, can someone receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost by just hearing the word of God?
Sure. While Peter yet spake, Acts chapter 10, he didn't pray for Holy Ghost. He didn't lay hand on them. He was just preaching the word to them. Suddenly, something happened.
Okay, then in Acts chapter 2, after they received the Holy Ghost at Pentecost, the Bible says they were converted and then they were adhering to the doctrines of the apostles. Then in 45, chapter 2, verse 45, it says, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. If we are going to be restored back to Bible Christianity, is there going to be a point in time where we will begin to let go of our possessions, if possible, sell them, you know, let go of your businesses, everything? You know, are we going to ever get to that point?
Maybe you should also ask this question. The rich young ruler came to Christ. And Christ, he asked, what shall I do to have eternal life? And we know the discussion that went place. The last one, he said, sell all that you have. Give it to the poor and follow me and you'll have eternal life. Now the question is, should we sell all we have so that we shall have eternal life? That should be the same question. So you must read the scripture with understanding. They were not commanded to do it. When you have the Holy Ghost, you have a spirit of God, and God is love. It is love that constrained them to do that. And if you have received the same spirit, when you see somebody in need, you will do everything around you possible to help the needy. The emphasis is that they were helping the needy. If you have the same Holy Ghost now too, any needy person around you, whatever you can do, you will do to help the person.
Yes, sir.
God bless you.
So I've not done it. Second to the last, just short. I want to ask now, Jesus was saying the kingdom of God is likened unto, that's when someone was planting seed, some fell on the rock, some fell on. So if you're a Christian, you discover that you're the type of Christian that when you hear the word, you receive it. But when you go out, the cares of life chokes it. What do you do? If you're the type of Christian that he was referring to, that the cares of life chokes the word of God in your life, what do you do?
No, he already told us now. In the last part of it, that should be Mark chapter 4. There is another group. He's trying to tell you the different groups and which group you should belong. He's not telling you to go and let the world choke you. Then you now look for a way to escape.
No, there are some people that they know that that whenever they go out, they discover that the cares of life tend to take away their attention from the things of God. You know, they get distracted by the things they go through. So what will they now do in that situation? When you discover that, oh, I'm already in this. This is my situation. This is where I am.
Now, let me tell you something. Praise God. This is how the situation is. A very pretty girl. Young girl married to a woman. To a man. They exchange vows to live truthful to one another until death do them part. Now, because of that vow you made with that man, will it stop other men from chasing you outside? Now, because you are pretty, men will be going after you. If you like, wear all the ring all over your body. All these womanizers, they will still chase you. But there is something that will make that girl, that woman, not to fall to all the advances. It is the vow that you made to another man. Now so it is with Christ. When you give your life to Christ, the decision you make helps you because of that decision. No matter what is attracting you in the world, the remembrance of that decision you make helps you to stay away from the contamination of the world.
Yes, thank you very much. Sir, lastly. Concerning what the lady said of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the foolish virgin and the wise virgins. Now, if truly, okay, I accept that the foolish virgins too receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But then why do we then emphasize receive the Holy Ghost, if not, no rapture? No Holy Ghost, when you know that we can still have the Holy Ghost and still not go in the rapture?
They went in the rapture.
The foolish virgins.
See, let me just quickly. Now, what makes them foolish? Our time is gone. What makes them foolish? It's revelation. There's something they are supposed to know. That they had no time, they did not yield themselves to hear. They were more busy with whatever else, how they want to serve their God, but they were virgins. They are not worldly people. They were not into committing some sin. That's why they are virgins. But they were foolish. It's lack of revelation.
I'm saying, why do we emphasize receive the Holy Ghost or no rapture when we know that you can still receive and not make the rapture?
What we say receive the Holy Ghost is that you should make sure that you have the spirit that will enable you yield to what he will be telling you. If you have the Holy Ghost, then allow him work his work of salvation in your life.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The last brother.
Praise God.
Online from Bayelsa State, Nigeria, Brother Austin. Shalom, sir. From your message titled Compromising Christian, I understand that in the Old Testament it is stated that a man that catches his wife in adultery should put her away. My question is that in this Gentile age, if a man decides to forgive his wife and take her back, is it a sin? No. Every sin on earth here is forgivable. The only sin that is not forgivable is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. And it is a high level of spirituality, sanctification, that you can catch your wife and she asks for forgiveness, catch her in adultery and ask for forgiveness, and you are able to forgive her. I'm telling you, such a person, there is nothing you will do that if you come to God and ask for forgiveness, that he will not forgive you. And that is also evidence of true love. It's a true love. If you love that woman, love covereth multitude of sin. But if you are not able to, God knowing our human nature, you decided to put her away, you have also not committed sin. God bless you. Okay, the last brother.
Sir, it's a pleasure meeting you for the very first time. I know I'm blessed. Amen.
Amen.
So my question is, I want you to really clarify this. I'm confused about this. If people you prayed for, people you preach to, turn to call you a pastor, should you accept? That's number one question.
Sorry, they do what?
If people you preach to, people you prayed for,
yes,
maybe in your office, they see you as a Christian, and they call you a pastor, should you accept or say no? That's number one question.
Pastors are not by nomenclature. Pastors are by a call. So that is their own way of telling you that, you know, of acknowledging your spirituality. Nothing more.
Should you accept or say no?
There's nothing wrong. You know what they mean. So it helps you further to preach more to them. Now they have something to respect you by. It doesn't matter.
Sir, number two question is, can a Christian brother call a pastor when he has not gone through pastoral school or theological
school? Pastor waiting.
Can he be called a pastor when he has not gone through theological school and
pastoral
school?
It's God that makes one a pastor. There is no school that makes you a pastor. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that when God calls you, before you answer, you must go through some school somewhere. No, it's a denominational thing. Nothing like that. The call is God that calls you and gives you the ability to gather his sheep and feed them. It's a call that you yourself, you will know God has called you, and there will be evident fruit of that ministry. God bless you. Yes.
Shalom, sir.
Shalom.
I have two questions, and one is on this blasphemy. Thank God you just made mention of that. Concerning this blasphemy, what then can I say about Apostle Paul and Peter? When Apostle Paul knew very well that Apostle Peter has been given the mandate of circumcision, why his own is uncircumcision? And then he said in Galatians chapter 2 from verse 7, he said, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of circumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of circumcision was unto Paul. And he said in verse 11, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to face, because he was to be blamed.
Yes.
That is, he was to be blamed for. But before that Satan came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision.
So what's your question?
So what I'm asking now, does it mean that Apostle Paul is blaspheming the Holy Ghost that is Apostle Peter?
You don't understand what happened there. Peter knows about grace. But he's having problem with his people, the Jews. Because already God told him by the vision he saw that took him to Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10, that what he, God, has cleansed, Peter should stop calling it unclean. And he was referring to unclean Gentiles. Because we are not circumcised, therefore we are unclean before the Jews. So they will not eat with us. But Peter now had that revelation, but he has a problem of explaining it to his brethren, the Jews. And then he was with the Gentiles, they were eating, and suddenly he saw some Jews coming. He quickly washed his hand and then left. And Paul saw him and rebuked him. They shouldn't do that.
Okay,
so that the is the story there. Okay. So there's no blasphemy there. Right, Paul was correcting him.
To the extent he said in verse 7, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?"
You have to catch it now. He was rebuking them now.
Okay.
Why did he call them foolish? Because Galatians, they were being brought back to the law when he has already brought the gospel that set them free from the law. Now they are now bringing the law to them. You must wash your hand before you do this. You must do this according to the law. If not, you cannot serve the God of Israel. And he told them, "Who has bewitched you now to begin to follow such things when you have been set free?" That is what he was saying. He was just correcting them and enforcing grace.
Alright. The next question is...
Is that the last one?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Is can one be too small, you know, to carry out the commission that God has given to him, just as Jeremiah, when God asked him, "I have done this from your mother's womb, so I'm sending you to go and this." He said, "I am too small. I cannot speak." Because when I was observing my own prayer, personal prayer, I have such an encounter. So, and I felt that I'm too small to carry this. So my question is, can someone be too small to carry
this? Now the question I also ask you is, can God give you something you cannot carry? Can God give you something you cannot carry? God is not a human being. It's because you can carry, that's why he gives you to carry. God bless you. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Clap your hands now for Jesus. Okay, the last one on the screen. From Gabon. Brother Wisdom from Gabon. Greetings, people of God. So my question is, why won't a woman pastor a church since it's the same word of God she is teaching? The reason is in 2 Peter and Timothy. Is it first? 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is the reason. Verse 11, 12, and 13. This is the reason. It's scripture, it's not me. Let the woman learn in silence. Learn what? Learn for university. Learn the word of God. Learn the word of salvation in silence with all subjection. Subjection there is a position realizing you are under someone. Verse 12. But I suffer, or I permit not a woman to teach, not to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. This is the reason, Brother Wisdom from Gabon. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Verse 14. And Adam was not deceived that brought us into this wahala. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression. This is the reason why the woman cannot pastor where there are men. God bless you. Church, can we clap our hands for Jesus? Jesus.